of enforcing or of assuring accurate reporting, and that is that if you don't report accurately, you'll be prosecuted for the inaccuracies. Not that if you report accurately that you'll be prosecuted for something else that's unrelated to the validity of the return. Does that answer your question, Senator?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much. Steve? Mr. Chairman, I think I'm of the view that we're dealing with tax laws here, and that if we want to expand this, the idea probably ought to be discussed by the Judiciary Committee, not by
us. Thank you very much. And this latest amendment limits it, does not expand it.
Right.
Okay, Steve, I think has a question.
In the bill, in line 21 and 22, it talks about the person's given access to the confidential information and refers to the ORS statute. Is there just what's the reasoning behind not having that kind of language in the proposed amendment?
In the Attorney General's opinion that I helped prepare that you have before you, it deals with that question specifically as to whether or not you can require the grand jury, the judge who's hearing the case, an Oregon State police officer all to sign confidentiality statements or waivers. It was our feeling that that might be a bit cumbersome to require each member of the grand jury, each person who's sitting in the audience of a court case to sign each of those, and it got to be simply too cumbersome and beyond the intent of the legislature, at least my opinion, beyond the intent of the legislature in requiring the secrecy or the confidentiality requirement.
Especially if we decide to limit it, as you've suggested.
Yes, sir.
Right. Other questions, Senator Bradbury?
I guess I'm looking at the amendments that you've provided us. I don't see that subsection 2 of section 27 is deleted. Is that what you were speaking about, Steve?
Yes, just any reference to that language on confidentiality.
You're talking about starting on line 21 of page 16?
Yes.
I don't see in his amendment that it's deleted.
Right, it isn't.
I think
so. It's still there. Now maybe you meant to delete it, but it isn't deleted.
Right.
Good point. You know, you've added something, but you haven't deleted anything.
Line 9 after the period, delete the rest of the line in line 20.
Delete. Which is the rest of subsection or section 27 sub 1.
Did you intend to delete sub 2?
I think our concentration was on 1. To answer your question, I don't think we had an intent one way or the other. And I think that's an excellent point by Senator Bradbury.
Steve?
Okay, after line, well, let's see.
So.
Okay, after, in section 27, line 16, after 1, you're inserting the notwithstanding. And after report, you're inserting claim in line 17. You delete the or. You insert line 18. In line 19, after the period, you insert.
Please.
Delete the rest of the line in line 20 and insert. So. I would say as drafted there, section 2 still exists.
Some 2. Is it needed?
Is that a question to me?
It's a question to Steve.
I really don't know from a legal standpoint whether it would be necessary or not.
Okay. You want to try it?
I'll take a stab at it. I may refer the committee to page 11 of the Attorney General's opinion.
Why does it takes in everybody by any associate or subordinate?
On that last paragraph, it says the department should require as a precondition of disclosure of confidential tax information that the Attorney General District and each person who has access, including the grand juries, execute certificates pursuant to the section you referred to. However, once an indictment or a complaint is returned against a taxpayer defendant and filed with the trial court, confidential tax information becomes inculpatory evidence of a crime, which is then subject to the statutes governing disclosure. It's at that point that it becomes, I think, beyond the intent of 314.840 to require each person to sign a disclosure. So I guess when I answered your question initially, it was up to that point that perhaps disclosure should be, or disclosure form should be signed, but beyond that, it'd be very difficult.
It says here you don't have to.
Mm-hmm. Both from a legal point of view and from a practical point of view.
So are we safer to leave sub 2 in?
I think we are.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, would you like a motion?
Let's see. How do we want to take this, Steve? Do we've got the sub 4 amendments. The sub 4 amendments are being partially replaced by the Department of Justice.
There's nothing in the sub 4 amendments that deals with Section 27.
Okay.
So you need.
So we can treat them separately.
Yes, if you wish.
Okay, so we need a motion on the sub 4 amendments, and then we need a motion on the Department of Justice amendment.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Riley.
I would move adoption of amendments to Senate Bill 178, dated February 6th, 85, sub 4.
Okay. Is there a discussion on the motion? Call the roll on the sub 4 amendments.
Senator Bradbury?
Aye.
Cease?
Aye.
Help?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Riles?
Aye.
Hanlon?
Aye.
Monroe?
Aye. And now the Department of Justice amendment.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Bradbury?
I would move Department of Justice amendments dated February 6, 1985. Dave L. Canary is at the top of the amendments.
Okay, you've heard the motion. It's a discussion. Call the roll on the Canary Department of Justice amendment dated February 6th.
Senator Bradbury?
Aye.
Cease?
Aye.
Howe?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Riles?
Aye.
Hanlon?
Aye.
Monroe?
Aye. Now, are we ready to move the bill?
Yes.
Motion on the bill.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hanlon.
Move House Bill 178 is amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Hanlon moves Senate Bill 178 to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation. Anything further? Call the roll.
Senator Bradbury?
Aye.
Cease?
Aye.
Howe?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Riles?
Aye.
Hanlon?
Aye.
Monroe?
Aye. Senator Houck, you missed out the other day when we were handing out bills and didn't get one. Would you like this one?
Are you mad at me? Yes, sir, I'll carry it.
Okay, this will be assigned to Senator Houck. Senate Bill 180.
Again, behind the bill, there's one page of amendments. Senate Bill 180-2.
Yeah, I don't agree with you on that one.
The bill in general dealt with estimated tax changes. The first amendment of dash 2 is on page 3. And it's deleting lines 39 to 42. There was some discussion about this section sub E in terms of large corporations and the 75%. The department has proposed new language, which is in dash 2, to in effect remove sub E and add a new section 3, which is lines 4 through 9 on the amendment. And the amendment then would say that in the case of a large corporation, paragraph C of subsection 1would not apply, and then it has the same definition for a large corporation. And I'm not totally aware of the department's reason for this change.
Okay. Who's, Verlina, is this in yours, or? I'd like to explain why you want to make this change.
Basically, Senator Monroe, when I testified, I said that the intent was to get us closer to federal. And when we put the concept in, generally that's what we thought we had done. They had made some changes that we were unaware of. And based on concern, again, from this committee, we again talked to Elizabeth Stockdale, and Don McNeil went ripping through the current Tax Act of 1984. And what we have with this amendment, we think, is to get us very close to what federal allows. We did not make a recommendation in this to adopt everything that they've done, just some things. Where we were wrong is, in my earlier testimony, and as drafted, the 75%. That was a one-year period that they did use a 75%. That's currently 90%. Mm-hmm. Also, a large corporation can take other exceptions, and they aren't just limited to that one exception. So with this redrafting, now they can do that. They can take everything, as I understand it. I'll let Don address you also. But they could take everything except for C, exception C, which would be this year's tax based on last year's income exception.
Okay. Don?
Yes. For the record, Don McNeil, Department of Revenue. The statement that Verlina made with respect to what we thought we were doing on the bill did not occur with the language that is currently there. The large corporation being subject to the 90% requirement at the federal level really is the same as our current subsection B in section 3. So we saw the need to just delete this language and yet then make the provision that is the same as federal, that they would not be able to use subsection C based upon the prior year, an estimated tax payments based upon the prior year's tax. So the amendments do basically conform us to what current federal law is.
Okay. Questions of the committee? Okay. Is there a motion on the amendment?
Steve. You want to finish the other changes on the amendment?
Oh, I thought those were just... Go ahead.
Okay. Let's see.
It is.
Maybe that is it.
No, there's another
deletion.
You got
delete lines 4 through 7.
Okay, then on the top of page 4, you renumber section 3 becomes section 4.
Yeah.
And then on page 5, you restore the or at the bottom of the page. And remember, the department testified that they wanted to delete subsection C at the top of page 6, that would cause processing problems if they had to use estimated tax from the prior year. So that was part of their proposed amendments discussed in the bill.
Right. Okay.
I move the dash 2 amendment, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Senator Hanlon moves the dash 2 amendment dated 2685. Further discussion? Call the roll.
Senator Bradbury?
Aye.
Senator Deceased?
Aye.
Hauck?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Miles?
Aye.
Hanlon?
Aye.
Monroe?
Aye. Amendments adopted. Senator Hanlon moves Senate Bill 180. As amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Call the roll.
Senator Bradbury?
Aye.
Cease?
Aye.
Hauck?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Riles?
Aye.
Aye.
Monroe?
Aye. Motion carried. And let's see. Chuck, you want this one?
At your service, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. I think everybody else...
Up to a point that I won't...
Yeah, right. Well, let me know.
Yeah, that's qualifying.
Okay. Senator Hanlon will carry Senate Bill 180. And we go to Senate Bill 181.
Behind Senate Bill 181, there is a one-page amendment. Senate Bill 181-2. The first part of the amendment deals with page one of the bill. This section dealt with giving the department authority to accept credit cards. The disputed language was in at the end of line 9 and the beginning of line 10. Mm-hmm. The or other methods helpful reflection of such amounts. The amendment would delete in line 10 methods helpful and insert money transfer methods so that overall it would read delinquent amounts by bank or credit cards or other money transfer methods, trying to look forward to when there's electronic transfer funds, perhaps.
Mr. Chair, choice of words.
Mr. Chair, I would suggest that you could stick someone up in the alley and call it a money transfer.
Some people think that's all the IRS is up to.
People think that's what we already do.
Okay, Steve, why don't you continue?
Okay. Then money methods.
Page 3 of the bill. Amendments that the department had brought to your attention on page 3 at the top in line 6 to substitute complaint for petition, and to substitute in line 7 action for the word suit to be more appropriate language.
All right. Legal money transfer.
In line 16, to insert language after deficiency in that line 16, or the deficiency is less than that determined by the department, to give the court the option of deciding something in between what the taxpayer and the department have, the numbers that they have taken to court.
Okay.
In terms of the amount of the deficiency.
Okay, now this is a separate amendment here, this one by Elizabeth Stockdale.
Mm-hmm. That's basically what we're doing.
That's the same thing. Okay, this is just LC form.
Right.
I got you. Okay.
And then discussion on that.
Go ahead.
Then the final change on the dash two amendments are on page 5. This is new. The department proposed at the beginning of section 12 in line 8 to add some sections of the ORS that specifically are dealt with here, whereas before it was just limited to net income. And then in line 28, there's still an old reference to just check income taxes, and the word income should be deleted there to make it consistent with the new ORS chapters added.
Right. Okay. Was there anything else?
That was all.
Questions? Is there a motion of the committee?
Chairman, I move the dash two amendment.
Senator Hanlon moves the dash two amendments. Call the roll.
Senator Bradbury?
Aye.
Cease?
Aye.
Houck?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Riles?
Aye.
Hanlon?
Aye.
Monroe?
Aye. Anything further on Senate Bill 181?
Mr. Chairman, move Senate Bill 181 as amended to the floor of the due pass recommendation.
Senator Hanlon moves Senate Bill 181 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Call the roll.
Senator Bradbury?
Aye.
Cease?
Aye.
Houck?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Riles?
Aye.
Hanlon?
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye. And motion carried. And I guess I'm the only one left. I get to carry Senate Bill 181.
Good.
The credit card bill.
Just fasten your seat belt and go.
How do you file minority?
Anything further to come before the committee today? Please notice that our agenda has been changed. That the bills now scheduled for tomorrow are Senate Bills 185, 187, and 188. As previously we had, I think, scheduled 186, and at this time there's no interest in that bill, so we're setting it on this shelf. Anything further to come before the committee? See you folks at 1 o'clock tomorrow. Adjourned.
Say, Ron.